When you study the field of logic, there's a certain law in the field of logic called the law of rationality. It basically says that you should not accept anything for which there is not adequate evidence. You shouldn't accept something to be true unless there's adequate evidence to show it to be true. And as we look at our earth, and as you begin to consider the earth and the truth about the earth, is our earth here by chance, or is our earth here because it has been designed by someone? And I want us to consider this morning the design that exists in our earth. And I don't want you to accept things this morning just because they're presented inside a church building. Come back to this law of rationality that says we don't need to accept anything unless there is adequate, sufficient evidence to show it to be true. So the question this morning is, does the earth show design? And I want us to look at just a simple syllogism, simple 3 points to consider whether this is the case, whether the earth does show design or not. The major premise is this. If the earth evidences purposeful design, if I can look at the earth, if you can look at the earth, and see design in the earth, then there must be a designer. If we look at the earth, if we see design, then design says there must be a designer. The second, the minor premise of this is we can see the earth. And we can see that there's purposeful design in the earth. And since we can see that, then the conclusion is there must be a designer. There must be someone who has designed all of this that we see. Everything that is designed demands that there be a designer. Can you have a watch without a watchmaker? Can you stumble across a watch and say, well, you know, perhaps this just happened by chance? Is that possible? You know, you pick up one of these song books and you open it to any song. Did these notes just happen to fall down on this page? Did these words just happen to fall down in an understandable form? We know that's not the case. We know it's not the case with a watch. We know we can pick up a poem and we say there must be a poet. We know we can pick up a song and we know there must be a songwriter. We know we can pick up a watch and say there must be a watchmaker. We know we can pick up a painting and say there must have been a painter. Well, when you begin to look at the earth, when you begin to look at the evidence that exists around us in the earth, is it not also true that the design of the earth demands that there must be a designer? And as we talk and as you talk with various people who may believe in evolution, who may believe that the earth is here by chance, as you begin to look at this syllogism, the one part of this syllogism that they do not agree with, the one part of this syllogism that they have a problem with is this part number 2. They say that the earth does not show purposeful design. Because you see, everybody knows that design demands a designer. Even atheists believe that. Even atheists understand the idea of the watch or the idea of this little clicker that says this thing has design, it has intricate design, and so therefore there must have been a designer that made this. Everybody, even atheists, will believe that and say that's true. And so where they disagree with the earth having a designer is number 2, they say the earth does not show, doesn't evidence any purposeful design. And so what I want us to consider this morning is this question. Is it more reasonable to believe when you look at the earth? Is it more reasonable to believe that it is here by design of God? Or is it more reasonable to believe that it's here just by accident? And I want us to look at seven different characteristics, seven different design elements that we see in the earth. And go back to this law of rationality. You don't need to accept that the earth was designed by someone unless there is sufficient, adequate evidence that shows that to be true. And I think after we look at these seven things this morning, perhaps we will say, well, I think there's a lot of evidence. Now remember, this is the point that atheists will not concede. They'll concede that, yeah, the earth is complex. They'll say that. And the earth, it's got a lot of intricacies to it, but they won't admit that it has design because of the conclusion that that demands. This morning, let's look at seven different things about the earth. And we could look at more, and we could look at more detail about these, but we'll look at these as we have time. First of all, let's consider the location of the earth. Does the location of the earth, does that show any design at all? You know how far the earth is from the sun? 93 million miles. Is that a long way? How many craftsmen, tape measures would it take you to figure out 93 million miles? Have you ever tried to measure a room and you had, you only had 25-foot ruler, so you had to measure part of it, and then you had to measure the other part of it to get the final distance? Here's 93 million miles. How did they figure that out? 93 million miles from the sun. Is that just by chance that we're that distance from the sun? Is it just by chance that here is this ball of heat that's out there that's 12 million degrees Fahrenheit? That's how much heat it's putting off. In addition to the fact that the very core of it, the interior of it, is 20 million degrees Celsius. Again, isn't it interesting? Did they take a thermometer out there and, stick it in there to figure this out? Here's scientists that say this is how hot this ball of matter is out there. How close would you like to be to 12 million degrees Fahrenheit? Would you like to be 92 million miles? We're 93. Does that matter? Does 93 million miles, does that matter that happens to be the distance that we are from the sun? Here's the sun that produces more energy in a single second than man has produced in his entire existence. Takes 8 million tons of energy, or 8 million tons of matter, and produces energy every second. We haven't done that since we've been created. And yet, here we are, 93 million miles away from this great heat source. In fact, as you begin to research, that's the exact distance that we need to be. It's the exact distance. If you want to begin to look at our... I don't want to get into these issues, but if you want to begin to examine global warming, move us 92.5 million miles from the sun, and let's talk about global warming. Let's talk about global burning, okay? We are in such a position that our temperatures are just right. We're in such a position from the sun that the radiation that's coming from the sun, that we absorb the right amount, but not too much and not too little. Do we need the heat? Do we need the 12 million degrees? Not all of it, but do we need some of it to exist? Yes. And it happens to be that at 93 million miles, we are absorbing, we are taking in just the right amount of heat for our existence. What kind of temperatures do they have on Venus? You think they're talking about global warming on Venus? I don't think they're talking on Venus, do you? Why isn't there life on Venus? It's a bit too warm, isn't it? Makes you feel like South Florida's not too bad in the summer when you start thinking about being on Venus. What about Mars? We've got those rovers that are over there. What kind of life have they found? Why haven't we discovered life on Mars? It's too cold. Isn't it interesting that we are the exact distance from the sun that we need to be in order to sustain life as we know it? It's just right. And so the question this morning is, if it's exact, if it's just right, how did the earth know how to do that? How did the earth know, okay, I need to be 93 million miles away from the sun? If the Big Bang is true, and that we're here by chance. How did this one planet figure out I need to be 93 million miles from the sun to sustain life? And why didn't the other planets figure it out? How did the Earth know that that's where it needed to be? How did the Earth know that was the location that it needed to have? But not just the location, what about the orbit of the Earth? What do you know about the Earth's orbit around the sun? Is it a perfect circle? It's not a perfect circle. What's up with that? I mean, if you were designing the orbit around the sun, would you not make it a perfect circle? I mean, is there anybody OCD like me that, you know, you're going to measure it out to make sure it's a perfect circle around the sun? What's the deal with elliptical? You know, why is it that sometimes that we're further away from the sun and sometimes we're closer to the sun? Why would that happen? Or does that not even matter? Does it not even matter that it is an elliptical orbit? What happens when the Earth is closer to the sun? What would you do if you got close to the sun? You'd get warm. Would you start moving a little faster? Would you say, I don't think I want to be this close to the sun? That's what the Earth does. When the Earth gets closer to the sun, not only because of the heat does it move faster, but does the sun have its own gravitational pull? Well, let's say if you hang out close to the sun long enough, what's going to happen to you? You're going to get sucked right in. Isn't it interesting that in this elliptical orbit, when is the Earth moving faster? Is it moving faster when it's further away from the sun so that it can hurry up and get back around to the sun? It's moving faster when it's close. What's happening when it's further away? It's colder, and the Earth is moving slower. Why does that matter?
Causes the seasons.
What would our seasons be like if this was not true? Would our seasons be different? Suppose it was that perfect circle that you and I would want it to be. Suppose it's a perfect circle. What's going to happen to our seasons? Is there going to be any variation? It's going to be South Florida everywhere, right? I mean, it's going to be no season everywhere. Same season everywhere. But why do we need seasons? Is that just for our, you know, so that we can go and see the fall leaves and say, isn't this great? We don't have these at home. Is it so that we can drive north and go snow skiing and enjoy those kind of things? Why do we need seasons?
For people to exist, to grow crops.
To grow crops. For our existence on this earth, do we need the fluctuation of the seasons to grow the crops? And here we are, this earth, in an elliptical orbit around the sun. Is that just an accident? Is it just an accident that as we're closer to the sun, that we don't start moving slower? What would happen if we were moving slower when we were closer to the sun? It'd get a little warm, wouldn't it? What would happen if we were moving, at a different rate or in a different line? You've heard this about the line of the earth as it orbits the sun. It only fluctuates. It only moves 1/9 of an inch every, 18 miles? Every 18 miles. Again, wouldn't you like to be the guy out there with the measuring tape, Oh, there's 1/9 of an inch. It must be 18 miles again. You know how long we've known these facts? How did we figure these things out? And what's interesting about these facts is most of these facts were not discovered or determined by creationists. Most of them are discovered by scientists, determined by scientists who are not trying to prove the design of the earth. They're just trying to find out the facts. Isn't it interesting when you find out the facts, what the facts go on to prove? Suppose instead of a 1/9 of an inch, we were 1/8 of an inch. Or suppose instead of 1/9 of an inch, we were 1/10 of an inch. Just a little bit off. All of a sudden, we're either too hot or we're too cold to sustain life. Here's the Earth in this elliptical orbit. That's the exact orbit that's needed in order to keep ourselves that proper distance, that safe distance from the sun, and in order to allow our seasons. It is just right. So let me ask the question again. How did the Earth know how to do that? How did the Earth know, elliptical is better than a circle. And faster when we're closer is better than slower. How did the Earth figure out how to do those things? Is it just evolution that the earth figured out when we're closer, we're going to move faster because the first time we did it, it wasn't fun? Is it just that it evolved and figured it out over time? Here's the location of the earth. It's just right. Here's the orbit of the earth. It's just right. What about the rotation of the earth? What does that mean? What about the rotation of the earth on its axis? How fast are we moving? If you stood at the equator, apparently if you had, what are those things called that give you speed readings? Can't remember what that device is called. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. If you had this speed device on the equator, apparently it measures about 1,000 miles per hour. And at the same time that the equator is moving around at 1,000 miles per hour, the earth itself is orbiting the sun at 70,000 miles per hour. And at the same time that the equator is going 1,000 miles per hour and the earth is orbiting at 70,000 miles per hour, the whole solar system with the sun and its planets is moving 600,000 miles per hour in its own orbit. And in fact, a single orbit of the sun itself with its solar system takes 226 million years to complete one circuit. Now tell me how they figured that out. If we haven't been here 226 million years, how did they figure out, we only need about 225 million and so many more years to finish this? They figured it out. Have you ever gotten dizzy before? Here's a good reason to get dizzy, right? I mean, if you're moving 1,000 miles per hour plus 70,000 miles per hour plus 600,000 miles, you're moving 671,000 miles per hour at any given point in your day. You ever get a headache? But why is it that that's just right? And how is it that you're not falling over all the time? How is it that you can even stand up? How is it that you can walk, hopefully, a straight line? How is it that when you take all of these things, that rotation is just right? And you begin to think about how important these things are. Here's our rotation that provides us with periods of light and darkness. Is that important? I mean, you know Genesis 1 that God called the light day and he called the darkness night. Why is that important that we have light and darkness? Wouldn't it be better if we had 24 hours of light? You could do more work that way, couldn't you? For those workaholics that are in here. I mean, if you had 24 hours of light, you could go mow your lawn at 1 o'clock in the morning, right? Make your neighbors really happy. But why do we need, same thing we've been talking about. Why do we need that fluctuation? Is that necessary to grow crops? Do crops need sunlight to grow? Yes. Of course they do. Would it be good for crops to have 24 hours of sunlight to grow? Why not? Well, if the sun's good, why isn't more of the sun good? You're going to dry it out, it's going to burn it up. What'd you say, Don? They need darkness. Do we need darkness? Have y'all ever been to Alaska or points north where it's light all the time?
It's awful. You can't sleep.
It's miserable to try to sleep, especially if you're in a tent. If you go tent camping in Alaska, been there, done that, you can't go to sleep because it's light all the time. I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning. My dad's laying there reading a newspaper in the tent because, there's no darkness. At least there's some, a little bit more, but not like we have. But it's important, and it's critical that these. What if our rotation was faster? You want more hurricanes? I mean, our weather service, they'd be having a field day. They'd be hiring more people. We'd have these cyclones and hurricanes stirred up. What if we were moving slower? Instead of 1,000 miles per hour, what if we were moving a little bit slower? Days are longer, nights are longer. Do you know that, how long does it take us to complete one revolution on our axis? How long does it take the earth to rotate one time on its axis? 24 hours. How long does it take the planet Venus to complete one rotation? Planet Venus takes not 24 hours, 243 of our days to complete one rotation. Would you like to go live on Venus? Wouldn't that be fun? I mean, their days last 243 days. So basically, you could work a day and be off a day, right? You know, work a day, be off a day. You could have a great work schedule if you lived on Venus. Except between your day off and your day on would be 243 days of darkness. That'd be fun too. Is this just right? You begin looking at the rotation of the earth, and it's the exact rotation that we need to maintain the balance of temperatures and the balance of seasons that are needed on this earth. It is just right. How did the earth know how to do that? How did the earth know 1,000 miles per hour at its axis, 70,000 miles per hour around the sun, 600,000 miles per hour of the sun in its own circuit? How did it know to do that? How did it figure out that was just right to sustain life? Number four. Is this number four? The tilt of the earth. Is that significant? Here's the earth tilted at what? 23.5. Would you like to bend that guy out there with his, what's that thing called, a protractor or something, trying to figure out what the exact, tilt of the earth is? If you had done it, if you had created the earth, would you have put it at 23.5 degrees? What would you have done? I know what I would have done. Straight up and down. I mean, that's the way we think of it, right? You look at a globe, that one's already tilted. You look at a globe, you look at a world map, and what do we think? We just think straight up and down. That's the way we think. So if we were going to make it, buddy, it's going to be straight up and down. You know, we're going to have a perfect circle. You know, everything's going to fit in our little pattern. Why 23.5 degrees? Okay, provides our seasons. What if it's straight up and down? What's going to happen? We're rotating 1,000 miles per hour, 70,000 miles per hour around the sun. What if we're straight up and down? What's going to happen to the water? You're going to have waters at the poles, and guess what's going to happen at the equator? It'll be dried out. If you put it straight up and down, all of a sudden you've got vast deserts and you don't have any seasons. Well, let's say you take it and you tip it the other way and put it at 90 degrees. Is that a good idea? Then you're going to be dealing with all sorts of temperature extremes. Here's the tilt of the earth, 23.5 degrees. And it's the exact tilt that we need to have the proper water levels where? All over the earth. To have the proper water levels, proper seasons, and to moderate our temperatures, it's just right. How did the earth figure that out? I mean, was it first created at 23 degrees and it thought, if we were over another half a degree, it'd be a lot better? How did it figure out 23.5 degrees? Or was it just designed that way? What about the waters of the earth? Are the waters important? How much of the earth is covered by water? Got any ideas? 72%. Good idea. 72% of the earth is covered by water. Is that a lot to you? I mean, here's the earth, and you put 72% of water on it. Is that the way you would have done it? I mean, here we are, and we are so egocentric. We're so focused on us. We're going to need more land than water, right? And if we had more land, we could spread out, and we could have more people. So give us more land for more living space. And, who needs the Atlantic and the Pacific Ocean? I mean, give me a break. Why do they need to be so big? 72% of our earth is covered by water. Does it provide something for us? Here's this natural reservoir that is constantly evaporating, constantly condensing, constantly falling back to the earth in rain. Is that important? Is that water cycle that you learned about in school? Remember that nice little thing? Is that important? What was it? 17th century that man discovered that there's a water cycle. You go back and read the book of Job, and God had it figured out a long time before man ever even had a clue that it existed. Is it significant that our earth is covered by 72% of water? Does water hold its temperature? Does water help maintain a temperature? If you go out into the desert, do you have temperature extremes in the desert? You get really hot in the day. You get really cold at night. Why? There's no water around to maintain that temperature. You come here, and what do we have? Water all over the place. What do we have? Same old boring temperatures all the time, right? But the fact that the earth is covered 72% of water helps to maintain that temperature all over the earth. Even in the desert, if the earth wasn't 72% of water, what would you have in the desert if there wasn't that much water on the earth? Those temperature extremes would be even greater. Do we depend on human? Do humans depend on plant life? Why is that?
Oxygen.
Plants give off oxygen. Do we need oxygen? Yes, we give off carbon dioxide. What do plants take in? Carbon dioxide. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting, the cooperation that we have with plant life? We need what they've got, right? They need what we've got. And so we have a really difficult time accepting when people go in and destroy forests because they're giving off oxygen that we need. Well, we're talking about the waters of the earth. Do we realize that the oxygen that we have to breathe, folks, it is coming from the forests, but 90% of the oxygen we breathe is coming from plants in the waters. Not coming from, 10% coming from the forest or, that little plant you got in your house, but 90% of it is coming from plants in the waters. You want to tell me why we need 72% of our planet covered by water? So that we can breathe. Isn't it interesting that we have that much water to sustain life for 6 billion people on this planet? 90% of our oxygen is coming from those plants that are in the seas. Is this exactly what we need? If we made the earth, it'd be 72% land and 28% water, just to throw in a little bit of water. But it's the exact amount that we need for the moisture, the temperature, and the oxygen levels that we need. It's just right. How did the earth know how to do this? How did the earth know 72% is better than 50%? You begin looking at some other matters, and we're going to run out of time. What about the relationship of the moon to the earth? Is that important? How far are we from the moon? Or how far is the moon from us, depending on which way you want to start that tape measure? 240,000 miles. Why is that important? How about you bring that moon in a little bit closer? Would that be a good idea? Guess what? Florida would not exist if you bring that moon in a little bit. Well, it might exist, but only at certain points in the day. You're going to have major tide problems. Here's the moon that helps control our tides. And it's the exact distance that we need so that we do have... Do we need tides? Any surfers in here? Do we need tides? We're not talking about for surfing. Why do we need tides? Tides help maintain... Remember that plant life that we need 90% of its oxygen? Helps maintain that plant life. If there's no tides, if there's no movement of the water, it dies. Anybody have a fish aquarium in your house? Why do you need that filter on it? Why do you need that constant movement of the water in that tank? Because if you don't have water moving in that tank, if you don't have a ripple on the top of that tank, what happens? The whole thing stagnates. What happens to life inside that tank if that water's not moving? It dies. Isn't it interesting that we've got this huge thing out there called the moon that's the exact distance from the earth that it needs to be to provide these tides for the cleansing and the purification and the growth and the maintenance of life in the oceans, and yet at the same time, it's not too much and it's not too little. It's the exact distance that it needs to be. It's just right. Now, how did the moon figure that out? Here's this ball of cheese out there. Did we just push it away and push it away until it was far enough to make it just right? Or was there design involved in this? What about the atmosphere of the earth? Is there any design that can be found in the atmosphere? Did you know, perhaps Nicole knows, I doubt it, but did you know that the atmosphere is 78% nitrogen, 28% oxygen, 0.03% carbon dioxide, and a bunch of other gases? You know that? Aren't you glad you came today to figure out that you've got this proper balance of gases in our atmosphere? Here's our atmosphere that captures this solar heat. Here's our atmosphere that scatters the light evenly around the earth in the daytime so that you can walk out in the daytime and you don't need a light, you don't need a flashlight, you don't need a candle. Here's this natural light that our atmosphere is helping to scatter because of its existence. Does the atmosphere protect us? Suppose you take the atmosphere away. You going to have any meteor problems? Yes. How would you like that? How would you like to, you know, not just have a hurricane report? How about a meteor report every day that you go online to check? Here we are protected from the meteors, protected from ultraviolet rays that we hear all of this about. But guess what the atmosphere is doing? Protecting us from these ultraviolet rays. Here's the atmosphere protecting us from these waves of protons and electrons that the sun sends out. Here's all of these things that we know about the atmosphere. What about the atmospheric pressure? How much pressure is the atmosphere putting on your body right now? I'll round it to 15%, 15 pounds per square inch. So if you took a square inch of your body, and if you put 2 gallons of milk right there, or water if you want, or whatever you want, 2 gallons of something right there on 1 square inch of your body, is that going to feel real good? Okay, now do it to every square inch of your body. Are you going to be comfortable? That's what the atmosphere is doing to your body right now. Do you feel it? Do you feel like you got 15 pounds on every square inch? Why don't you feel it? What's your body doing? Is your body putting off any pressure? What if the atmosphere was putting 15 pounds per square inch and your body was only, you know, let's say, giving off 12 pounds? Would that be a good balance? You'd be a lot skinnier. I'll tell you that right now. If your body was only giving off 12 pounds and the atmosphere is putting on 15, you'd be really skinny. But what if you were putting off 20 pounds and the atmosphere is only giving you 15? That ain't going to be a pretty sight either, is it? You got 15 pounds against 15. How did the earth know how to do that? How did our bodies? That's a whole other topic. How did our bodies know how to do that? Is that perfect? Is that exact? Is it just right or what? How did the earth know to do those things? For those of you that have come in since the beginning of class, we said at the beginning of class that in the field of logic, there is the law of rationality that says, do not accept anything unless there is adequate evidence to show it to be true. Here's the earth. Here is our earth. Is it more reasonable to believe that our... Whoops. Ignore that. Where's my... There. Is it more reasonable to believe that based upon just these 7 things we've looked at, is it more reasonable to believe that there's design in these things or that these things are just accidental? The law of rationality says if there is adequate evidence. Is there adequate evidence? You want to talk about the distance, the orbit, the rotation, the tilt, the water, the distance from the moon, the pressure, the content of the atmosphere. Is that perfect or what? You begin looking at some of these things. Do you believe we could ever get one of these by accident? Sometimes you'd like an accident to happen to one of these when you're having a real rotten day with them. You going to get one of these by accident? Even if you took all of the parts that were needed and put them in a room and then threw a tornado in there, wouldn't that be fun? Throw a tornado in there with the parts. What are the chances of this thing coming out? Is that possible? Is this accident or design? Have you seen this commercial? Where this Ford F-450, all of these parts are kind of mulling around in the air and they all come together in this commercial. Isn't that interesting? What are the chances of that happening? You're going to get this thing, this truck, by accident or by design? What about these billion-dollar pieces of machinery? You know, Dan McLeod works for Lockheed Martin. He doesn't build these. He builds the things that go underwater. But Dan wouldn't have a job if we could get these things by accident, right? Can you imagine our military if we could get these things by accident? Can you imagine? Would you like to get on one of these things on the right-hand side here if it came about by accident? Sign me up for a ticket, right? No. We know all of these things come by design. What about that thing that's behind that particular jet right there? Did that mountain come here by accident? That's what we're led to believe. That the jet is by design, but the thing that's behind it is by accident. Accident or design? What do you think? Accident or design? Have you ever gone there? You ever gone to Mount Rushmore and say, wow, what a great thing that just came about by chance? Well, there's a lot of guys who gave their life for that to be there. We look at all of these things and we'll say, yep, that's design, but the thing that it's designed on is by accident. It's by chance. Folks, there is too much evidence to say that our earth is here by chance. What have I got? 3 minutes? Our alphabet. Is our alphabet here by design or here by chance? Here's what I mean by that. There have been some people who have a lot more time on their hands than most of us who have tried to figure out. You take our 26 letters of the alphabet, all right, and you give them to somebody. They don't have to come up with their own letters. They don't have to come up with their own alphabet. They have the 26 letters of the alphabet. And if they were to take the 26 letters of the alphabet, maybe on pieces of paper or whatever, and throw them up into the air, what would be the chances? Throw all 26 letters up in the air. What are the chances that those 26 letters are going to come down on the ground in the right order? They give you the 26 letters. You throw them up in the air. All they've got to do is come down in the right order. What are the chances of that happening? The letters of the alphabet tossed in the air by chance, they might fall in their present order. We're only talking 26 letters, people. That's not a big deal. They could fall in their present order one in more than 500 million, 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 million times that they were tossed up into the air. You want that job? Well, let's throw them. Nope, didn't happen that time. Well, let's. And they say if you allow a second and a half. Do I have it on this slide? No. They say if you allow a second and a half per trial, that it's going to take you 2 septillion years to get it to happen one time. There are some people, and I don't have time to read it, who've actually created a computer program. Forget throwing up in the air. That'd take, you know, we don't want to do that. Created a computer program to do this randomizing. It's been running 10 years, and it still hasn't got them in the right order yet. Folks, we're only talking about 26 letters. Is there intricate design in our earth or what? Is it more than just 26 letters that somebody gives you and you randomly throw them in the air? There's more design in this earth than 26 letters in the right order. And if 26 letters could not randomly get in the right order except for 500 million, million, million times, and it would take 2 septillion years for it to happen one time, why do we believe that this comes about by any other reason than there was a designer who made it? Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 4 says that every house is built by someone. We know that. He who built all things is God. And Romans chapter 1 says, here are those things. We can know the invisible by those things that have been created. To the point that God says we are without excuse. Are we without excuse? We've only talked about 7 things of the earth today. That's all we've talked about. And to me, I'm overwhelmed by those 7 things. That's all I could use maybe 1 or 2. I don't need 7. You say, yep. The law of rationality says if there's adequate evidence, then you say, this is true. There's more than enough evidence. God has put too much design in this earth for us to say, oh, it's just here by chance. There is a God. He is alive. He made this earth and He made us. And we need to do what we can to serve Him.